We begin the current daf, Masechta Kesuvim, daf Pei Beis. We begin 8 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues his discussion of the previous daf. That is, we spoke about the Yavam, who he gets all the dead brother's assets when he does Yibum to his Almana. Now, however, there was a machlekes between Rabbi Yosef and Abaya regarding halacha. What is the status of the Yavam when the Yavama is a Shemeres Yavam? When she's anticipating Yibum, her husband died without any children, but she didn't get Yibum yet. Then, as the incident which was that the Machlekes came up with, was that the younger brother wanted to ruin the chances of the older brother doing Yibum by giving a get for us. So the older brother says, what's your problem? Because you're jealous, I'm going to get all the money? Don't worry, I'm going to split it with you. So the Machlekes was, although the halacha is that he's not allowed to do anything with that money because all of it is meshubed to the Yavamam, so he can't go ahead and split part of the assets with his younger brother. So the machlekes was, Rav Yisus said that even though he told him he's going to split it with him, it has no validity because he can't, and therefore since he can't, it's not even valid after the fact. Which Abaya argued and he says, no, that we find precedents where although there's something you're not allowed to do, as we find with Beis Hillel on the previous Mishnah, but after the fact, Mecheres Menasen Eskayim, and therefore Abaya said here also, since he promised his brother that he's going to split it with him and it's like a sale, therefore he has to split it with his brother. Now the Gemara continues with a similar incident relating to this halacha. So the Gemara says, "Ahu gavra denafalele yavama b'masa machase." There was a certain man that there was his brother died without any children, the masa machase, and therefore it was incumbent upon him to do yibum with her. Now, bayachu lemifsala begita mine. Samely as the previous story, which started this whole machlekes, there was a younger brother that wanted to ruin the options for the older brother, saying, "What, you're going to do yibum and you're going to get all the money of our departed brother's assets? I'm going to give her a get. You're not going to be able to do yibum." And therefore, we're going to then be able to split it like old brothers do. Now, Amalei, so the older brother said to him, "My daitach, what's your thought process? Why are you doing this? Imisham nechsi, if it's because you're jealous of the assets, ano b'nechsi peleg nilach, don't worry, I'm going to split it with you, even though I'm the one doing yibum." So Amalei, so the younger brother said to him, says, "Mistafina, I'm afraid, the avdis liki, the avid pumbedisa ramo, I'm afraid you're going to do to me like that conniving person that's from Pumbedisa," whereas we brought in the previous incident, as Rav Yosef had paskin for him, that he didn't have to split it with his younger brother, and he was able to retract. Now, the reason why he's called Pumbedisa is because we find many times in Shas, Tova Achvilach Ramoy de Pumbedisa, that there were cunning people in Pumbedisa, so therefore he called him this conniving person of Pumbedisa. But basically what he's telling him is that your words are empty, because even if you tell me you're going to split it with me, but you're going to be able to retract as the halacha was paskim Rav Yosef, that he didn't have to give it to his younger brother because he didn't have rights in it right now when she's a Shemeres Yavam. So Amalei, so the older brother said to him, "Okay, don't worry. We'll find a way out of that problem. Iboyis, if you want, polaglach mahashta, go ahead. It's not just empty words that I'm telling you. Go and take half of the dead brother's assets right now." Now, although you're right now, it's not going to be acquired to you. Because until I'm going to end up doing Yibum, or when I do Chalitza, then we're going to split it. But right now, as a Shemeres Yavam, you're right, you cannot really acquire it. But when I do Yibum, and then I'm going to merit all of the dead brother's assets because I'm doing Yibum, then you'll merit in the part that you took because of the Chazakah that you did right now, that you took it right now. And they were, "Don't worry, go take it now, and therefore when I do Yibum, it'll already be yours." In spite of that, again, Amar Bar Avashi, he says that Afagav Techias Ravdimi Am Rabbi Yechanan, although there's a halacha of Rabbi Yechanan that would seemingly make it sound like what they had done should work, because Rabbi Yechanan said, if someone tells his friend, "Look, Leich Umashach Parzu, go and do Mashicha, which is a kinyan, by drawing the animal, the cow, to you, but although that's the Maisa Kenyan, that's the act of the acquisition, but however, the actual acquisition itself, the change of owners, will only be after 30 days. So although that he's not doing a Maisa Kenyan 30 days later, but still Rabbi Yechanan said, after 30 days, the person will acquire it, it'll change ownership in 30 days from then, with the Mashicha that he had done 30 days earlier. Moreover, the chiddush of this halacha of Rabbi Yechanan is, even if at the time of when it reaches 30 days later, it's in a swamp, meaning specifically it's not in the domain of the purchaser. So how can it be acquired for him when at that moment it's not in his domain? That is not a problem because the actual ma'is of Mashiach from 30 days earlier, which he did take it to him, which is what Mashiach does, will work even 30 days later, even though at that time it's not in his domain. Now, therefore, you would seemingly compare that to what these brothers had done, where although that it's being acquired only later, but what he had done earlier now that he took it to himself should work for that later point in time when he will end up doing Yibum. On that, Rav Dimi said that no. Hasam, that on that Mar Rav Ashi said that no, you can't compare it to that halacha of Rav Dimi in the name of Rabbi Yechanan. Because over there, where the kinyan is happening after 30 days, is because it's biyadai, it was in the permissibility, it was within the rights of the makna to acquire it to the lekeach at the time when he was drawing it. So therefore, the mashicha was a permissible, was a halachically recognized mashicha, so that when the conditions are filled, when it's 30 days later, then it will be considered the lekeach, even though at that point in time, it's not even in the lekeach's domain. But on that Rav Ashi said, but hachalav b'yadai. Here, it wasn't within the rights of the brother that's going to end up doing Yibum to split it with his younger brother right now and to be makna if he wanted to, because she's a Shemeres Yavam. And the Shemeres Yavam, it doesn't work because the halacha is, as we mentioned in the previous daf, that we hold like Rav Geisa, the whole Zvini Lav Zvini. And as actually the Zima will shortly quote, that we paskin the halacha like him. So even if we would say that, which is also, the Gemara essentially says, is also not considered Zvini. But even if you'd say that, if he does Yibum and then he splits it with him, that should work. But at least right now, when she's a Shemeres Yavam, that's not within his capabilities to be Maknetim. And so therefore, even when he says now, which seemingly should be similar to Rabbi Yochanan's halacha, that when I do Yibum, then you'll merit what you took right now, that doesn't work. Because right now he cannot give it to him. So there's no act of Kenyan right now, so that when the actual acquisition should happen later, when he does Yibum, even if you'd say that would work, it won't work over here. And it's fundamentally different than the case of Rabbi Yochanan, where he was able to give it to him. He just didn't want the actual Kenyan to happen until later. That's okay, but here you can. And therefore he said that even though that the younger brother thought he's going to be one step smarter than the previous incident, he wasn't. And Mar Rav Ashi says that he's still not going to get it. Because you can't have something to take effect later, retroactively, if right now you cannot do the Ma'isa Kinyan itself. Now the Gemara asks, and this is regarding this halacha of Rabbi Yochanan that we introduced, and Mar Rav Ashi brought in to illustrate the halacha in this case. So the Gemara asks a seemingly contradiction in Rabbi Yochanan's opinion himself. That you just quoted from Rabbi Yochanan that if you do a Ma'isa Mashiach now, the Kinyan could work 30 days later. On that, the Gemara asked, but Bahaki Asrav and Amar Rabbi Yochanan, he says, Loikani, he said that same exact halacha case does not work to be a Kinyan 30 days later if it's, like we said, Bishos Agam, it's somewhere else. It cannot work for a Mashiach that was done 30 days earlier. So that the Gemara says, Loikash, it's not a contradiction in Rabbi Yochanan, because, this that we had earlier quoted, that said that it will be kaina is the Amar Leikani Me'achshav, where he said that after 30, when 30 days come, I want that the Kinyan should happen from now, retroactively. Now, if it's going to be happening from now, at that moment the Mashiach is being done, it's only going to start 30 days later, but it's going to go kick back to 30 days earlier, so therefore the Ma'isa Mashiach was together with the Kinyan. Now, but where it was just quoted from Rav in the name of Yechanan, that said it's not going to work, is where he didn't say me'achshav. He didn't say me'achshav, so then they don't work together. You can't do a ma'isa mashicha that's not doing the kinyan mashicha to have a kinyan mashicha do work 30 days later. It's only if it works retroactively, and then they're working together. Now the Gemara moves on to a related discussion, which is a continuation of what we were just discussing. Bayim name Ula, they ask from Ula. Yibeim va'achakach chilek mahu. This is what we had alluded to before. If let's say there's two brothers, and one of the brothers already did Yibim, and then he splits the assets of the departed brother with his younger brother, what's the halacha? Does that work? So that he answered, lo yasav lekol. There's no validity. You cannot sell any of the assets that meshubed to the Yavamas ksuba, and therefore if he splits it with his brother, it will not take effect. Chilik va'achach Yibim ma. What's the halacha which we were just discussing before, which is the halacha of Rav Yosef, which is if they split it when she's a Shemeres Yavam, and then he does Yibam, what's the halacha? And then again, he says, Lasa Lakum has no validity whatsoever, as we pass him Ram Yisim, you can't sell any of it, you have no rights in it. That's the Meshubah, the Achroi for Aksuba. Now, Maskabla Rav Sheish, Rav Sheish asked the one who was asking the questions, Hashtu Yibam Ba'achka Chilik Lasa Lakum, if even in the case where he had already done Yibam, and therefore essentially he takes over the role of the husband, and yet still we said that he can't sell any of it, as we discussed in the previous daf, because although he has been kind of all of it, but they're all meshubed to the ksuba. So chilek v'achach yibam mebayis, what's the, why would we ask the second question that if he splits it, and he's only not even a yavam yet, she's just a shemeres yavam, would we entertain to think that he could sell it? So I think my answer is, you're right, shnei maisim hava. There were two separate incidents. The one who asked the one question didn't ask the other question. And the later questioner didn't hear the first questioner, because they weren't asked together in the Beis Medrash in the discussion of a Talmudic topic. They were just two different stories, and that's why it was quoted in that order, because that's how it happened. It's not necessarily that each one knew the other, but yeah, of course. If Yibam Achke Chilik doesn't work, so Chilik V'Achke Yibam definitely wouldn't work. So too, the Gemara brings that Ki Asa Ravin Amr Rish Lakish. When Ravin came, he said the name of Rish Lakish, the Ben Yibam Achke Chilik, whether even if he did Yibam and then he split it with his brother, or ben chilik v'achachim, or if he split it and then yibam la'asav la'kulam, nothing has been done. There's no validity to it. And v'helchas la'asav la'kulam. Now, halacha is like we said from the previous staff from Rabbi Yisiv, that nothing has been done because the yavam, whether she's in the status of shemeres yavam or a regular yavama where he had done yibam already, they're all meshubit to har ksub, and therefore he can't sell any of it even after the fact. Now, The Mishnah brought a machloikis between the Chacham and Reb Meir. And the Chacham, they said that if the departed brother left over assets, which is the theme of this parak of Isha Shanafla, where a woman inherits things, so then we were speaking about the Shemeres Yavam, what she inherits, so we spoke about the halacha of Yavama, so when her husband dies without any children, so now the Yavam goes and inherits all of that. But, however, we said that whatever is in the estate at the time of death becomes meshubah to har ksuba. Now, the Chacham said that if he left over peris hamachabam lekarka, however, if the principle is meshubah to har ksuba, peris, the yavam gets to consume. Now, what's the halachic status with a produce that's attached to the ground? So on that, the Chacham said, not like Remeir, they said shaloi. Remeir said that no, the peris, although it's Paris, but it's principle itself, because it was there at the time that the husband had died, and therefore that's Meshubit. So therefore, he says you have to evaluate how much more the field is worth with the Paris, although it's going to end up being consumed, but you have to buy other land with that higher value, with that differential to evaluate the Paris itself, then there's principle for it, and then you can eat the Paris of that land. But the Chacham, they argue, and they say, no, Shaloi, that just like old principle, the husband, the yavam, gets to eat the peres, so to hear over here in this case. Now, that the Gemara is amai. Why would that be the case? But v'hokol nechosav achroin v'arvoin liksubaso. But the entire estate of the departed brother, which the yavam is inheriting, is obligated and has a guarantee for her ksuba. And therefore, what is attached to the land is considered like the land itself. It's just like the land is meshubit, so too is the peres. So how could he consume it? Now, Rashi addresses a very pivotal point, and that is that this seemingly seems to be, as we had mentioned this when we quoted the Mishnah, seemingly parallel to the same exact machlokes between the Chacham and Remeir on the Mishnah, Daf Ayin Tes Amud Aleph, which is where we spoke about that when a woman inherits Nichsei Melug, and when she inherited those lands, a regular woman, a wife, and it has produce that's attached to the ground, so on that the Chacham said that the husband gets to take those payers, seemingly, that because they consider that as payers. And there the Gemara had no problem. The Gemara didn't ask on that how could he take the payers? That should be considered the principle. So why over here do they ask it? Why is it any different over here that regarding the Yavam, do they consider it as principle? And therefore the Gemara is asking, how could they say the payers go to him? And there they had no problem. So Rashi says, because the concepts are fundamentally different. There, the Chachamim said that the payers of a wife's nichsei melug go to the husband as long as the principle will be extant, will still be around. Now, these lands, when she inherited that the payers are mechuber lekarka, they are the produce of the principle of her land. Now, the reason being is because they were only reaped at when they were ready in the domain of the husband. So when they're reaped, they're peris, so he gets to eat it. But here, the principal, meaning the land itself and the produce itself, everything's going to the Yavam. But here the component, the idea of it is that, but there's a lien of her kesuba on whatever was in the husband's, that her first husband's estate when he was still alive at the moment that he died. And therefore we can't say it's considered peri to remove her shibud, because even if it is peri, it doesn't make a difference. That's principle, that's meshubah to the ksuba, and therefore the Gemara is asking, how could we, the Chacham, say that that goes to him if that was part of the estate, and anything in the estate gets frozen and gets meshubah to her ksuba? So Rish Lakish says, you're right, tenei shalah. We have to learn in the Nusach and the Mishnah that the Chacham actually did not argue in Remeir in this case, and they agreed that the peris das mechubarim lekarka, the moment of death, are meshubah tar ksuba, just like Remeir said. And the only thing that they do argue in Remeir are the other things that they mentioned there in the Mishnah, which are regarding peris talushin, which were detached already at the moment of death, and regarding monies, where they say that, no, whoever gets it first gets it, not like Remeir. And the reason being is because they held that metaltal and movable items like detached produce and monies are not meshubah tar ksuba. So therefore, if she grabbed it first when he was still alive, so it becomes meshubah. But if the yavam grabbed it before the wife got a chance, then he gets to keep it, and it's not meshubah tar ksuba. Now the Mishnah said kenasa, when the yavam consummates the relationship, he does yibum, he does bia with the yavama, harei ki ishtei, then she's like his wife in all practical purposes. I think more one is lamai hechel. So what's it coming to teach us? So, of course, you do yibum, she's a regular wife. So Amar B'Yishe, Rabbi Chanina, says, Loimar comes to teach you, Shemegar Shebeget Umachzira. Two halachas. First of all, that he could divorce her with a get, and that unlike a regular Yavama, when before he does Yibam, who requires Chalitza, here if he wants to divorce her, it doesn't require Chalitza. And moreover, if he wants to remarry her like a regular woman, who if he divorced her before her marrying someone else, he could remarry her. Now, that the Gemara asks, Megar Shebeget Pshita. What I mean, the fact that he could divorce her with a get, isn't that obvious? Why would we think that he wouldn't be able to? So that the Gemara answers, Mao de Tema, we were thought to say, the Pasuk, V'yibma Amrach, the Torah says that when he marries her, and he does Yibum. Now, V'adayin Yivum in HaRishayim, we would think to say, that even though he already did V'lokcha, the Pasuk says V'lokcha V'yibma, that even though he did L'kicham, and he married her already, that still she would have her original status of a Yavama, and therefore Leitiska lo beget el bachlitza. Maybe we think that just like Yavama, Shemeres Yavam, that when you want to go ahead and remove her from that Zika, you have to chalitza and you can't do a get. So here also, even if he really did Yibum, you would think if he wants to remove her, you would require chalitza and it wouldn't be enough for the get. Kamash Mulan, that's what the Pasuk teaches you, that she's considered like his wife, and that's as the Gemara will shortly quote, we learned that from Leisha, that she's like a woman. Now, so what do we do with the word v'yibma, which sounds like that, adayin yibum harishayin melau? That the Gemara teaches in Yivam Estav Chesma Beis, that teaches us a different halacha, that v'yibma means bal karcha. And he could do yibum even against her will, he could coerce her in yibum. But however, regarding Isha, she's considered the Isha, and he could divorce her just with a get. Now, regarding the other halacha, of Machzir, the Gemara, that's also pretty obvious. Especially now we're saying that she's considered his wife, and that's where he divorced her with a get. So of course, if once he divorces her, and she didn't marry anyone else in the interim, and he's not a kohen, that he could remarry her. So I think Gemara continues, Amid Bezin says that no. Ma'ad Tema, we would have thought to say, the mitzvah, the Rama, Rachman, Olav, Avda. There's an erev over here of Eishasach. Now, the Torah, however, gives you a mitzvah when the brother dies without any children, to do Yibam. Now, once you did the mitzvah, and you divorced her, so v'hash to take him alav b'isra eishasach. So now, you don't have that mitzvah anymore. So it should retain the old iser of the brother's wife, which is an erver d'iraisa and forbidden. Kamash malan, that's what the halacha is teaching us, that she's like a woman l'chol dover, which is not only, again, that you could divorce her with again, but you could even remarry her. Now the Gemara asks, but v'im hachanami, what do you mean? You should say that. You should say that when you did the mitzvah, it's over. So how can the Mishnah say she's like Isha L'chol Dava, which the second component was saying is that you could remarry her? So I think Gemara says, no, Amakar, the Pasuk says in Devarim, U'lekach aloi le'isha, that he takes her for a wife. Now, the word le'isha is seemingly superfluous. So that's coming to teach us, kivin shalakacha nasas ke'ishtai. Once he takes her and in marriage and he does yibum, then she becomes like a regular wife, and thus removing the old erva of Eish HaSach, and therefore even if he divorces her, he could remarry her. Now the Mishnah said, Bavad she'tei ksubasa nichsei ba'al harishon. There is, however, one difference between a Yevama and a regular wife. And that is that although a husband, generally, his nechasim are meshubit and he has to pay out a ksuba for his wife, however, by the Yavam, he's not responsible for a ksuba. The responsibility of the ksuba is on her first husband's, the one who died without any children's assets, on his resources. So the Gemara says, my time, what's the reason? So the Gemara says simply because Isha Hiknulai, there was a wife that was acquired to this Yavam, min hashamayim, from heaven. He didn't pick this woman to marry. Heaven, meaning the Torah, said, you go ahead and marry this woman of your brother that died without any children, and therefore there's no reason why he should have to write a document of marriage and make himself responsible for this ksuba, and therefore it's his brother who he made that choice, who he's responsible for this. Now, however, the Gemara does say, ve'iles lamarishin, however, if she doesn't have a ksuba from the first husband, meaning there's no assets, so islam isheni, then she gets a ksuba from the Yavam. The reason is, k'desh lo yitei kala ba'inav lotzia. The whole purpose of the ksuba was that it shouldn't be an easy thing for the husband to just divorce the wife, meaning if he has no liability, he's just going to say, you know what, add enough. But if there's a monetary thing attached, it's always not so quick. You know, there's a pinch that you feel over there. So therefore, with the Yavama too, if she doesn't have a ksuba from the first husband, then he does have to write, because that's the whole purpose of the ksuba, that he shouldn't just be easy to send her away. Now, the Mishnah said that lo yomer lo harei ksubasayich. He shouldn't say to her that, look, you know, to his Yavama, that this is your ksuba over here. You know, when it's time to go, you know where to go. It's on this table, this little chest, this amount of money. Now, the Mishnah said then, same thing applies to one's wife. Now, the conclusion of the Gemara was, why shouldn't he say that? It's because it's going to cause Ava, it's going to cause hatred, because she's going to think, why is he talking about the ksuba, what he plans on me leaving this marriage? And it's going to cause hatred. So the Gemara says, my v'chein. Why does the Mishnah say, and so too, not only does this apply to one's Yavama, who he had done Yibim to, but applies to a regular wife too, obviously. Why would a wife be any less than the Yavama to think that it's not going to cause hatred if he's talking about specifying, this is your ksuba when you're going to get divorced, this is where you get it from. So the Gemara says, no, because Ma'adatim, we would have thought to say, that Hasimhu, only by the Yavama do we say that he shouldn't designate money on this table and say, this is where you're going to collect from, because delay cost of law, because the Yavam did not write a ksuba, as we just explained before, to his wife, to write that all his assets, the kanoi that he had already purchased, udikanina, and that he will ultimately purchase, will be meshubet to her, because it's not his, he's not writing a ksuba. It's only on her first husband's estate. And therefore, that's going to cause hatred if he says that this is where you're going to collect from, because she doesn't feel secure knowing that she's going to get a ksuba, because she's afraid if that's the money and all his assets are not, meaning the Yavam are not responsible for it, then maybe they're going to get lost. Aval hocha the kasav lo de kanoyo de kanina. But regarding a regular wife, where the husband writes in the ksuba that whatever I have purchased and whatever I will purchase, all of it is meshuba to your ksuba. We would think, okay, so she's comfortable, she's secure, she's not afraid of something happening to it, and therefore the halacha should be that he could tell her that this is where you'll collect your ksuba from. Kamash malon, that no, that's still going to cause hatred, even though she's secure, she knows that she can get it from all over. But again, that goes back to the same fundamental principle that it's really because of Ava, and even with a regular wife, that's going to cause problems if he says, this is where you're going to collect your ksuba from, and she's thinking, hey, why is he talking about ksuba, which is only when I leave this union. Now, the Mishnah said, Girsha ain't la el ksubasa. Now, however, although we said that all his nechasim are meshubit to the wife, to the Yavama, because it's from the first husband's, all the assets that he inherited from his brother are meshubit. But if Girsha, if he divorces her, the ain't la el ksubasa, the only thing she gets is her ksuba. Now, the Gemara makes the diuk what we just said. Girsha in. It sounds like that when he divorces her, the Yavama, that then she only gets her ksuba. Now, what that means to say is that now she only gets her ksuba, and now he can go ahead and sell whatever he wants from his departed brother's estate, whatever he wants, because now she's out of the picture. Now she doesn't have a lien anymore on the rest of it. She got her ksuba. But the inference is, but if he didn't divorce her yet, then he's not allowed to sell any of his brother's assets that he inherited. So the Gemara says, Kamash Mal Ked Rababa. So we have a proof to the Braisa that we had quoted in the previous daf, like Rababa, that he said that if the Yavam is Yisrael, the only way he can find a way to sell from his brother's assets, if he did Yibam, is to divorce the Yavam with a get and then to remarry her. Because when he's married to her, he can't do anything. He can't sell any of it. Now, Rashi asks seemingly an obvious question, is that why do you have to make a diuk from the seif of our Mishnah? From the ratio of the Mishnah we learned, because the ratio says that kol nechasav achrayin, all the departed brother's assets are responsible for the Yavama's ksuba, and therefore he can't sell any of it. So why do you have to make a diuk from the end? And now Rashi says that no, as we had mentioned this in the previous daf, you could say that that's what's called an eitzah taiva. It's just good counsel. And the reason is, as there's a proof that it's just eitzah taiva, because actually that same halacha is said regarding one's wife. And one's wife, he could sell from the estate. So this study says that you can't tell her that, oh, this is your money over here, meaning, and to say that he can go ahead and not sell the rest. It's not that you can't sell the rest, because even by one's wife, he say, don't go ahead and say that this is your money on the table. But regarding this halacha, this is what's known as a Mishnah Yisera, as a superfluous halacha, meaning that to say that it's only when he divorces her. Because if it's not superfluous to make this dig that the Gemara is saying, then why is it teaching us? If it's teaching this halacha itself, that when she gets divorced, she only gets ksuba, obviously she only gets ksuba. Why would she get anything more than that? She didn't inherit it, the brother inherited. Obviously, it's being said for its inference to make a diuk, but if he didn't divorce her, then he cannot sell any of it, and it's only when he divorces her, again, proving this halacha of Rebaba. Now, the Mishnah said, Hechzira, that when he remarries her, Harehi Kakala Noshim, so the Yavam is like any regular woman, Ve'inla El Ksubasa, and she only gets her Ksuba, meaning if there's the Ksuba that she had, which was from a previous husband, then he divorces her. And then he remarries her without ever having paid out the ksuba. So the understanding is she only gets the original ksuba, which was originally mandated. So the Gemara asks, "Hechzira mai kamash malon? What is the specific chiddush that our Mishnah is teaching us regarding a yavama that when he remarries her, she gets remarried based on the assumption of the old ksuba, but tanina?" This is a Mishnah we learned later on, the Peitas Amid Aleph, regarding a regular wife, which that same halacha applies, and therefore why would we think any different regarding a Yavama that we have to say a special halacha regarding Yavama that the same thing applies? As the Mishnah there teaches, Hamagarash as Isha Machzira, if someone divorces a wife, and then he remarries her. Amanas Ksuba Rishayin Machzira, the condition of this new marriage is based on the old Ksuba. He never gave her that Ksuba, so she's just going right back where she always was. And when the understanding is that she's going to go back with the old ksuba. So why should we think Yavam is any different? And I think Mark explains, we would have thought maybe that Mishnah later on, Daf Peitas Amid Aleph, talks about one's wife, the ihu kasav la ksuba minei, that he wrote for her ksuba from his own estate, like a regular husband and wife. Ava yavim to deloi ihu kasav la, but regarding Yavama, where he didn't write a ksuba for her, rather it's, as we explained before, on nichse baila rishon, she has to collect from her departed husband's estate. So maybe heichad the girsha v'hadra, maybe where he divorces her and then the yavam remarries her, eim ksuba saminei, maybe we would say it's a new marriage, and therefore it's not based on the original ksuba of her old husband, rather he's going to give her a new ksuba. That's what the Mishnah is teaching us. Then no, it's going right back to where it originally was, that she's going, her ksuba, which every married woman has to have a ksuba, is the old ksuba from her original Baila HaRishon. Now the Gemara clarifies what we had mentioned before, that the purpose of a ksuba is k'dei sh'loi tei kala be'inav lo itzia, that it shouldn't be lax in the eyes of the husband to just divorce her if there's no monetary liability. So Rav Yehuda says, b'ri shayna, originally, they would just write a ksuba for a virgin 200 zuz and for almana just 100 zuz. And however, they wouldn't indebt their assets as a responsibility, as a liability for a ksuba. Now, v'hoyu maskinen, v'lohoyu nois nashim, but the men would be getting old and they weren't getting married to women. And the reason is because the women didn't want to get married. Because they said that when he dies or divorces us, we're not going to be able to collect anything. And the reason is because the inheritors will hide the money of what they inherit, and we're not going to have anywhere to go ahead and collect from because we can't go ahead and collect from his properties. So Ad Sheba Shimon ben Shetach b'tikin, until Shimon ben Shetach came along and he instituted that kol nechasav acharon l'ksubasa, that all a husband's estate is liable for his ksuba, as we mentioned before, the kanino, the kaninya, everything that a husband has is meshubah to the wife's ksuba. Now the Gemara brings Tana Halacha, similar in the Braisa, a little bit more details to this chronology. Beri Shaina originally, Hayekosin lebesula masayim alaman aman, as we mentioned before, they would just write that I owe you 200 for your ksuba or aman 100. But the volume eskinim alay noisin nashim, they were getting old and weren't getting married to women. The women didn't want to get married. So heskinu shi manichin eisa beveisaviyah. So the first step of this was that they instituted the rabbis that they should put the money of the ksuba in her father's house. And the reason for that is Tosfos says, so that the Yarshin, what they were afraid of, the inheritors, cannot hide it because it's in their father's household. So they know they're comfortable that when they get divorced or widowed, they'll have the money in their father's house. But there was still a problem. But still, so the women agreed to get married. But when the husband got upset, he had a hard day and he just got upset. So he just say, you know what, get out of here and go to your ksuba. And that was a problem because there should be a delay between the stimuli and the response. But however, if the ksuba is there, so he knows he has nothing with that money anyway because he can't use it anyway because it's in our father's house. He said, okay, you know what? I'm not going to have any use of this money anyway ever. So just go. And he would divorce her. So what they instituted was that they shouldn't place her in our father's house. Rather, they should place her in her father-in-law's house, which really means her husband's house, because they would move in into his parents' house. Now, Ashirois, the wealthy women, who they had a very large ksuba, they would make from that money of the ksuba, they would use it and create an object out of it. They would make kolosos, which are these types of baskets which they would put on their head, and they would put all their sewing instruments in that basket, and they would make these baskets shel kesef v'shel zav, out of silver and out of gold. Now, the inheritors, although it was back in her husband's house, couldn't conceal it like money. And even if they wanted to, they wouldn't be able to, because when they see these baskets, everyone knows that it's her basket. And Anias, hayo eisis eisa avit shel meimei reglaim. And the poor women, they would make a urinal out of the money of their kesuba. Now, the purpose of this was because when the husband was pressed for money, so then the women would lend him to use it as collateral. So there was some utility for it. So it wasn't like he says, I have no purpose for it, so go ahead and I'm not going to get this money anyway. They were able to use it. Now, but there was still a problem, as Tosfos says, that because since there was only a small amount of gain, he wasn't able to really take the money and use it. It was just that he could use it as collateral when the wife permitted. So still, when he would get angry on her, so he would tell her, look, take your basket, take your urinal, and leave. And the reason is because since it was designated that this is her ksuba, so it was easy to say, okay, take this and leave. There wasn't that much of a process to go through till that he could calm down. Until Shimon ben Shetach came along and he instituted sheikaisib lo kol nichsa achar nichsabasa. He said that it should be written that the husband has to promise all his properties are responsible for her ksuba, and therefore he can't just designate any specific item for her, which is a movable item for ksuba, and therefore the wife has what to rely on all his estate. And now, moreover, it's very difficult for him to have to go ahead and take money and give it to her, because now he's actually losing money, which was all his money, all his property. It was something he could use, and now he has to go ahead and give it to her, and therefore that would give the amount of time for him to calm down and thus prevent unnecessary divorces. Han lachi isha, which I will turn to you, the eighth parak. And Mesechtes Ksubas Perek Isha Shenafu.